Trips are pretty exciting, aren't they? And I've been on a pretty exciting trip going through the Book of Romans. Righteousness, justification, salvation, security in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the promise that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. So you would think after all that, that our next step would be walking right into heaven. I mean, that would be next, but that's not the case with Paul. Paul tells us to be patient. We have to wait on the Lord's timing. And he shifts gears here. Anybody drive a standard shift here? What happens when you shift gears? Depends if you're going up or down. But anyway, he shifts gears here. And he focuses on the love that he has for his brethren, the Jews. And even though he was considered a traitor by them, because he ministered to the Gentiles, and he taught we have freedom from the law of Moses. And you remember last week we read about how we have security in Jesus. But what about the Jews now? They were chosen by God. And now it looks like God just kind of set them aside a little bit over here. And he's focusing on building up his church. Now, is God not keeping his promises to the Jewish nation? Is he not faithful to the Jews? If he isn't, how do we know he's going to be faithful to us? Good question. Let's go to chapter 9, Romans. Romans chapter 9. And Paul starts out by telling, he says, I tell you the truth. In Christ I tell you the truth. He says, I'm not lying. My conscience also bears me witness in the Holy Spirit, he says, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Paul is going to show that God, in his sovereignty, for the time being anyway, has just set aside the Jews as a nation of favor. And our scripture is going to show that the Jews today are no different than the Gentile is, as far as God's concerned. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no female, there is no male in God's eyes. We're all children of God. And he says that if the Jews want to come into the richness and the fullness of God's love, they have to come in the same way the Gentiles did, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way. And he makes an awful strong statement here about the heaviness in his heart that he's feeling. And he says that if it were possible, he says, I would be accursed from my Savior, Christ, so that all of you can be saved and have salvation. And that has to bring me back to Exodus in remembering Moses when he's leading the people. And the people are going against God and against God and against God. And we're in Exodus around 32:32. And what does God say to Moses? He says, Moses, step aside. I'm going to wipe this whole nation out. And I'll build you a new nation. And what does Moses do? He says, oh, Lord, no. He says he pleads to God for mercy on the nation. And he says, if you must, blot my name out, Lord, from the book. Now, why would Moses do that? Well, God, in his grace, put that in Moses' heart. And God, in his grace, put that in Paul's heart to say that. Now, what Paul was expressing was not possible, and nor was it even necessary, because there was one already who was accursed for not only the Jewish nation, but every one of us. Cursed by God, hanging on a tree in order that you and me and the Jews might be saved. Verse 4, Paul goes on. He says, who are Israelites? He's talking about the nation. To whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. So he's saying all this stuff was given to the Israelites, of whom the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, and the eternally blessed God. Amen. So it's kind of like a little prayer there that he's praying for the nation there. He's reminding them that they've already got all this stuff. Yeah, they were God's chosen race of people. And God had said to them, you will be my people, I will be your God. And he established his covenant with Abraham. And he repeated it to Isaac, and then later to Jacob, which is why you read the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a lot in the Bible. And unto them, the Jewish nation, God gave them the law. And he gave them all the promises all throughout the Old Testament. Especially the promise of the coming of the Messiah. He gave that to them ahead of time. And they received the word of God. And they received the covenant. And they received the promises. They received the law. They had it all. And look what Paul says next about them in verse 6. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Israel means what? Governed of God. That was a name that was given to Jacob by the angel he wrestled with. He said, what's your name? He said, my name's Jacob, heel catcher. And he says, ah, from now on you are Israel, governed of God. And so Paul's saying to the Jews, just because a man calls himself an Israelite does not necessarily mean that he's governed by God. Not all who are Israel. Not all who say, I am a Christian, are Christ-like. And that's what Christian means, Christ-like. There were those in those days that were boasting, we are the descendants of Abraham, therefore we're Israelites. Well, Paul tells them, not so. You can call yourself one, but that doesn't mean you are one. And 7, he says a little bit more about him. He says, nor are all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted as the seed. So, just being a physical descendant of Abraham did not entitle them to the promises, to the covenants, to the blessings that Abraham had. And many people today who call themselves Christians, when you ask them, How do you know you're a Christian? And you know what? A lot of answers. Well, my mother and father were Christians. That does not automatically make them a Christian. You can't be born into it. You have to walk into it on your own two feet with your mind and your heart coming to Christ. Being born of Christian parents only makes you their child. Doesn't make you a child of God. And God wasn't developing with Abraham a fleshly seed, physical descendants. He was making a spiritual seed line. And that's how come we're in on that. Because we accepted Christ. Ishmael. He was the son of Abraham, but he was the son of the flesh. And God wouldn't recognize him. Old Testament. Isaac was the son of the promise, one after the Spirit, and God recognized him. Because later on, when God appeared to Abraham, what did he say to him? He says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac. He didn't even recognize Ishmael as being born. And then later on he said, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Which is why Paul's quoting that here. The Israelites were saying, we're Israelites because we were born of the seed. And he says, no, you weren't. You were born after the flesh. Ishmael. And so we know that they who are the children of flesh are not necessarily the children of God. It's the children of the promise that's counted as the seed. Paul gives another example that the child of promise is more important than natural relations when he talks about Jacob and Esau. Verse 9, he says, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. And verse 12 says, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. That's kind of a troubling verse, isn't it? It's pretty logical for us to understand why God chose Isaac over Ishmael. It's a lot harder to understand. Why did God choose Jacob to be the heir of the covenant of salvation instead of Esau? Neither one had been born yet. Neither one had done anything yet. They hadn't committed any good. They hadn't committed any evil. And yet God chose. He did this because God knows all things. He knows everything from the beginning. He knows everything to the end. He knew the entire history of Jacob and Esau before they came out of their mother's womb. Just as he knows your entire history before you were born. And with this foreknowledge, he made the decision. He made the election. He made the choice that the elder is going to serve the younger here. The younger is going to be my chosen. He already knew what they were going to do. He already knows what we're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. God does. Which is why in Ephesians 1:4, we are told that one of the blessings that we have is that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. I know what some of you are thinking. How could God choose me before he even made the world yet? Because he knew me then. He knew me before the world was created. He knew me before he created Adam. He knew all about me. He knew all about you. He knows all things. And on that basis of foreknowledge, he chose you and me. One more thought before I run away here. In verse 13, when he says, Esau, I love, and not Esau. Jacob I love and Esau I hate. He is not talking about individuals there. He's talking about nation. So it refers to the nation of Israel and the nation of Edom. Not individual sinners. God doesn't hate sinners. We know that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he sent his son. What shall we say then, Paul says, verse 14. Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, of God, who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and on whom he wills, he hardens. When God chooses one over another, is he being unrighteous? Never. It's absolutely unthinkable to even imagine that our holy God would commit an unrighteous act. He can't do it. Election is always a matter of total grace, all the time. If God acted on the basis of righteousness, nobody would be saved. Because there are none righteous, not one. And because God is sovereign, he can pick and choose whom he will to have mercy on and whom he will not have mercy on. And Paul uses Pharaoh as an example. Moses was a Jew. Pharaoh was a Gentile. Both of them were sinners. In fact, both of them committed murder. But both of them saw God's wonders. Moses was saved. Pharaoh lost. Why? Because God raised up Pharaoh to reveal his glory and power. He had mercy on Moses so that he would use him to deliver his people from Egypt. He raised up Pharaoh that he would reveal his glory and his power. Pharaoh was a ruler and Moses was a slave. And yet it was Moses who experiences the mercy and the compassion of God. Why? Because God willed it that way. And who are we to question God? God is holy. He has to punish sin. But God is loving, and he desires to save all sinners. If everybody, I'm talking world, everybody, is utter automatically saved. You don't have to do nothing. Just you're born, you're saved. That would deny God's holiness. But if everybody is lost, it would deny his love. So what's the solution? God. His election. His choice. His calling. Look at Pharaoh a little more. Sometimes we're told in Scripture that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Exodus chapter 9, chapter 10, both of them. And by declaring his word and revealing his power, God gave Pharaoh the opportunity to repent. But instead, Pharaoh resisted God, and he hardened his heart. That's why it says he hardened his heart. Now, that's very, very thin ice for unbelievers to be on. And I really think that if a person hardens his heart over and over and over again against the calling of God, there will come a possibility of time when, like Pharaoh, God will go ahead and make that choice in your heart firm, and you can't change it. This constant resistance to the calling of God could very well be that unpardonable sin that's talked about in Matthew chapter 12, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit is calling you, and you ignore it. And he's calling you, and you ignore it. And he's calling you. And finally God says, okay, you made up your mind? I made up mine. Be very careful if you are resisting God, or you come to the place where God will harden your heart. So Paul says, what will you say to me then? Verse 19. Why does he still find fault? For who has resistance to his will? So he's asking a question here. Is if God's the one that finally decides and hardens your heart, how can he hold you accountable for your actions? And Paul says, but indeed, O man, are you... Who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me this way? Does not the potter have power over the clay? From the same lump he makes a vessel of honor and another dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Verse 24 says, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. So he says, who are we to argue with God? God is the potter, we're the clay. Now, clay has no life, and it's just a passive lump in the potter's hands there. But we have feelings, we have intellect, we have free will. We can resist him if we choose, but it is still God who determines whether a man is going to be a Moses or he's going to be a Pharaoh, a person of honor or a person of dishonor. Neither Moses, nor Pharaoh, nor anybody here, nor anybody else gets to choose who his parents are, gets to choose his genetic structure, or the time and the place of his birth. All these matters are in the hand of God. He has that power. And even so, that doesn't excuse us from responsibilities. Pharaoh had many, many opportunities to learn about the true living God and to trust in him. He just chose not to. And that's what people do today. God prepares men for glory. Every single one is prepared for glory, but sinners prepare themselves for judgment. It was once said that God never throws anybody into hell for damnation. They walk into it one step at a time, all by themselves. God's purpose ultimately was to form his church from both Jews and Gentiles. And believers today, by God's grace, of course, we are the vessels of mercy that he speaks about in verse 23. We are he is preparing for glory. And you know, all this was prophesied ahead of time. Paul says in 25, he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people. And her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel. Now he quotes Isaiah. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. No, no.
Yep, you good?
What was this pain you're talking about? Yes.
Don't call. No.
What is the pain?
I just got dizzy for a second.
Well, that is not normal.
I know it's not normal.
I still want 911.
Let me rest.
What did you hurt when you fell?
What?
What did you hurt when you fell?
I didn't hurt myself.
You got dizzy?
I just got dizzy.
I need you to come to the church. Fainted?
Where were you having pain that you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. My left tonsil.
That's a strange thing.
Deep breath.
What do you got going?
I'm not doing it right now. I want you guys to lay him down, and we're going to raise his feet up. Just a little bit. Because if he did faint.
Where are you going?
We're going to lay you down on the floor.
Can you go get a blanket from the playroom to put underneath his head?
I don't need a blanket.
No, just to go underneath your head. I want you to lay down because you're pale. So lay down on your back.
Let me okay, hon. Just leave me alone. I'll be okay.
You're not being cooperative.
Huh? Right. I need you to lay down.
I don't want to lay down right now.
You're pale.
Really pale.
I know, but it's
coming. You need the blood
need
to go to
lay
your
down.
Head.
The blood needs to come back to your head, Ken. His pulse is very weak.
Hun, don't be stubborn.
I'm not stubborn.
Yes,
hon.
You are being stubborn.
I know what I'm doing, and I know how I feel, and I'm okay now.
You're not.
All right, I'm almost okay.
Yeah. It would, you'll get more blood to your head if you...
All right, I'll lay down.
I know you don't.
They're going me, honey. Yeah. That's not helping. Okay. Where are you going? Let go of my legs, please. That don't hurt. That don't.
When did your leg start hurting you?
This morning, on the way to church.
So, where's this watch at?
My tie don't bother me, honey.
It don't.
It's all on your side, man. I don't got one over here.
Sorry, guys.
His pulse is 50.
How does your skin feel?
50.
It's
still
warm. It's cool, but cool. And the pulse is 50.
So if you guys want to get up and walk around, so he's less nervous about us staring at him. Okay. Yeah, if you guys
want to, get some pain somewhere.
Just in that left tonsil. Every
Do
time
you mind
I
if we loosen the tie?
Every time I try to swallow, it hurts, of course.
Just untie
the.
There
we go.
Looks a little swollen.
Yeah, that hurts. Thank you.
That's just this side, Ken?
No, that side's fine.
This side hurts?
This side's a little swollen.
Right side's fine.
Is the left side swollen?
Uh-huh.
It is? Have you had any problems with the carotid at all?
No.
No? No. Have you any soreness on the left side?
No.
Okay. Are you feeling any pain in your back?
No.
Okay. Were you having pain at all yesterday with your carotid?
Uh-uh.
None at all?
No, it's fine. Until I get up this morning, and basically started coming to church is when it acted up.
And you started not feeling good?
It was easy. I felt fine. I could feel the pain and difficulty swallowing.
Okay. The only reason why I had you lay down on your back is so that blood would go to your head, and so that if you did faint, then you'd get a little bit more blood supply and you'd come back better.
You're getting better coloring.
You really are.
Yeah.
It
is coming back.
Yeah.
It's good for you to be laying down.
It is. Is it? Would it hurt too much to have your knees, to have your feet on the ground and your knees up?
No.
Okay. I'm going to help you with that. Just hold them up like that. Yeah, that'll be good.
That's fine.
Okay.
I got one over here now.
Yeah, it was, when I first started taking your pulse, it was a little weak and it's coming back. It's more strong. So.
Take your thumb off.
I'm fine.
You have a pulse in your own thumb.
I'm good. Cool. Yeah, your coloring in your face is coming back.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's good. You three, go get something out that way, please. You, go.
Why don't you open up
Emily,
the snacks?
Yeah, open the snacks. You guys can have one cookie, no more. And Emily, Elisha, I need the baby. I left her in the playroom. You need to take care of her.
One to ten, what would you rate the pain? Your tonsil.
When I swallow, it's pretty close to 7 or 8.
Wow. It's
pretty strong.
And you said that you're not feeling it anywhere else?
No.
Any nausea?
No. I just started, at the end, I just started feeling lightheaded.
That's got my blood pressure cuff
in my bag in the back seat, right? Chief's got one in his med bag.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want him to just use his stuff.
No, my.
It's all right on top.
Yeah, if you take deep breaths, Ken, it'll help the oxygen back to your brain and you start feeling better, and you'll oxygenate your cells.
Okay.
So just slow, deep breaths. I think that was a good decision to lay you down. I'm sorry that I embarrassed you.
You didn't embarrass me.
When I first fell, it was very... Were you around anyone that was sick this week at all? No? Were you not feeling... Were you feeling sick at all?
No.
No? Okay. Well, yesterday? This is day off yesterday.
This is a good day. No, I don't know. Chaplain calls.
Do you know what your normal blood pressure is, Ken?
It's been running about 130, 135 over 78.
135 over 78? Okay. And then, have you ever had problems with your blood pressure? Have you ever been taking blood pressure medication?
I do take it.
You do take it?
Yeah.
Do you, so it's normally high?
Yeah, it normally runs about 160, 170, but if I, as long as I take my... One pill a day, I'm good.
Okay.
And that, and I've been taking it.
Are you having pain at all?
No.
Okay. Your pulse seems pretty regular.
Oh, okay.
Yes, on his way?
Yeah, he's on his way. We can double check him out and just make sure he's okay.
Who's on its way?
Jeff.
Oh.
Yeah. I figured that'd be less embarrassing. Is he moving everything okay? Yeah. Yeah. Guys, yeah, moved his feet. And his pulse was weak and it's getting stronger. Mm-hmm. And he was very pale in the face.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if he had like a...
I'm sure you need.
Grab my med bag really quick. I saw him on everybody else. There. Everyone else there. Yeah, I'm sure they would have helped. You have to be embarrassed at least once in your life.
But all the patients that we took care of, you know, you expected a little cooperation when you had asked them to do something.
All right, so what we're going to do is we're just going to check the heart and make sure, so I'll have to unbutton the shirt so if everyone's going to Judy, you can stay.
Boy, that's cold.
Yeah, compliments
outside. Practice your skills, Robert.
You want to do the blood pressure or you want me to? Okay. I'm just going to pull your shirt out. Oh, you're going to put that one on?
You can do it.
I'll do it. Pulse was 50. It was very light when he first went down, and then it started coming back stronger. His face was pretty pale, and that's why I laid him down.
The complaining of left tonsil pain, you know, from 1 to 10, he said 7 and a half to 8. That's the flaw.
You got no problem back there?
Yeah,
have a fever?
I don't have a fever.
99.1. He's having some pain in his left carotid area. His left carotid is
working. Okay.
The lower they get, the colder they get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, hold very still. Remember, you're on down. Okay.
74.
Deep breath, Ken. Just deep breath, Ken. Deep breath. Deep breath.
Sinus rhythm with sinus arrhythmia, left access deviation.
Let's go again, okay? We'll take another rhythm. Do you want more on the side? Mm-hmm. Let me take this one off.
Okay. Here. Oh.
what can.
Yeah.
That might be a little hard.
Do you have any pain in your head, Ken? No, don't move. No, I'm sitting down. What was it before?
Skip a beat anyway. And for the most part, the blood pressure medication will even it out quite a bit.
Just say it, Joanna.
Alright, well, let's have you sit up.
I like that.
Okay. Sit up, we'll take a blood pressure sitting up.
Okay.
And then we'll take a blood pressure standing up.
Okay, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. It's gonna work out. I'll go back here to her. Screen myself. No, I gotta turn it on my side.
Oh, say the grace and clear the way. Oh my gosh.
What?
Me
So when you passed out,
yeah,
what do you remember prior to?
I started feeling lightheaded and
standing. World spinning at all, or just
no,
focus?
Just focus, sort of. Okay. So I stopped preaching, thinking hopefully it would pass, but apparently it didn't.
Were your legs locked? Your knees locked or anything like that? Hmm?
His pulse is really coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Your most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you once again. We thank you, Lord, that you promised to listen. We come with a petition here. We will lay your hands upon you. Thank you, Lord, that you privileged us of him coming to us, bringing the word to us. And Lord, we just pray that you would be gracious and merciful. Help him through this situation that he is undergoing. You know all things are in your hand, according to your great will and grace. We pray, Lord, your presence will be here. Give him comfort and give him strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we just thank you for all that you're doing right now. Thank you that we can trust you for keeping your word that you promised to heal us, that your body has strength to heal. We trust you to heal us, tonsils, whatever infection is behind you, as well as we have on the day today. We trust you to continue to work in us and bring comfort to those who need comfort. Holy Spirit, we trust you to be comfort. Father, thank you for being our healer, our physician, our lawyer, our judge, our savior. Thank you for restoring us to a right relationship with you, your son through the word of the cross. That means restoring our bodies as well.
Yeah.
Restore our souls, restore our minds. Bodies are made new because of you. Someday we'll be a new body. Yes. So we can trust you. To function like you created us to function. Okay, sending him he needs for healing.
So, yeah, we need him to stand up.
And we're going to have you stand up, and we're going to take your whole session.
So, how are you doing it?
Doing it now. So,
I guess I'm going to finish.
Okay.
Let us know if you get this.
I will.
You're fine. I didn't
you
mean
didn't,
to send
you.
I just meant
no,
to send
my kids. You didn't send me. Rich sent me.
Well, that's just that he was getting embarrassed. That's why I said.
No, not to be in anybody's way.
get pretty bossy. I agree.
You didn't say anything to me.
I told Rich to send everybody else. That's my fault.
130.82.
That's what I was expecting. Should you want to have him sit down?
Yeah, you can sit down.
Okay, go ahead and sit. How much of it? How much? Yeah.
Not a huge amount, but you got 7 points different. Systolic standing from sitting, and five different sitting from laying down. So I think typically normally needs to be 10 points different in order to be specifically conditions, but that's not too alarming. Your rhythm is steadied out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about the pain that he's feeling in his side, though. Sometimes his carotid can get blocked. And just having that one side, I don't know. I know that you can have plaque build up sometimes in the carotid, and you were pretty pale and your pulse was pretty low when you did faint. That's my only concern.
Fainting is usually either a lack of oxygen or that's what to the brain.
Yeah.
So there could have been a blockage of some sort.
We're not sure. We're going around from there.
When I was this guy.
Sure.
My tonsils used to get infected every 6 months. Mm-hmm. I still have my tonsils. And this is what I would feel in my throat. I feel like it's, hard to swallow and everything. Well, the doctor never took them out. He would heal them, and they said, well, no need to take them out, they heal. And when I got in my 20s, and I would just drink 4 or 5 beers a night, and the alcohol.
Let me see your open a pipe. Stick your tongue out.
So now you need the whiskey.
Stick your tongue out. I don't have it. Do you have it?
Strong depressor.
No way.
A tongue depressor.
Tongue depressor. I wonder if a pencil would work. Use a butter knife.
Just go get a spoon.
Yeah, go
or
get a
plastic
actually,
knife.
Go get a plastic knife. I mean,
The plastic knives are in the cupboard.
Yeah.
They're not out.
Well,
that's what it feels like. It feels like this tonsil is infected.
Claire, how do your dad
Ken,
play?
How do you usually treat, or Erlene, how do you usually treat sore throats at home?
No, I usually take elderberry syrup. Usually helps me quite a bit.
Elderberry syrup's got the alcohol
gargling
in it.
With salt water.
I gargled twice with salt water today.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, open it. Let me see. Oh, and stick your tongue all the way out. That might help, and then I won't dig it as far. Okay, stick it out. Look up, and then I'll just go down right here. You've got some, I would say, I could see some, that's why I went back so far. You've got some soreness back here. You may have it. Not inflamed, it doesn't look swollen. Do you want to see? Because you're probably better at the top.
No, you're. I haven't looked at it in years.
Okay.
So
that it's red. This side is red compared to the other side. Yeah. It's not completely swollen that I can see. Like, that might be what's putting pressure on that. And that might be why you have a temperature.
No white pulse.
I was looking, but he.
Clenched.
He clenched and pulled back, but I didn't see that it was red before. So that it was a red patch. Okay.
Well, let's take another BP.
Yeah. Do you know urgent care, they might be able to swab those tonsils? If it's sore for me putting in, because I don't feel like I went that far back, they could probably do a quick swab and see if that's the problem.
Elisha, I know that you're worried, but could you sit on the other side of Tanner, honey? The kids were what I was worried about mostly.
All right, Deborah.
Okay, put that back in the pocket.
I will.
Yeah.